The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. John and I didn't know what we were going to talk about this week. We didn't really think we had a lot, and here we go. We had a lot, didn't we, John?
We always have more than we think we have.
Yeah.
I don't know why we keep thinking that anymore. We should know better.
Yeah, exactly. We should. It's like, what? So you came in with a hot topic that we had to, we actually, when you get to it, you'll hear it. We put it to the listeners. Maybe we'll continue it later. Then we had another, we had a question of the week. So
yes, we
that,
did.
That was a lot of fun. We had controversy.
We did have controversy. Well, I don't know if it's controversy because we both agreed.
It's controversy to me. So
yes.
That comes up at the end. What else did we have?
Well, and then we talked about some pretty good books this week. Some recommended reading, some good FOC books.
Book club.
I'm sorry. It's only year two. I'll get it. Get there eventually.
All right. Let's get into the store.
All right.
Hey, John, how we doing?
At the risk of sounding repetitive, I'm doing fantastic, DJ.
Well,
how are you doing?
It's funny you say that. I was going to say, it's a new year. Here we're starting.
Well,
the honeymoon's
new
over.
New year's in October, yep. Yeah.
The honeymoon's over. Do we freshen it up? Do we change the name? Is this, like, so our next issue is going to be Return of the Jedi. So
yes.
Is that issue 53? Do we keep the number scrolling? Is it going to be the new 52? Are we doing rebirth?
I would love to do it.
What are we doing?
I would love to do it like a, you know, in comic book fashion and have it be like volume 2, issue 1. But I think that's too confusing for most of our listeners. So
that's a lot. That's a lot to type out too.
Yeah, probably issue 53 is
the best way to go.
Yeah, the best way to go.
You did say that, like,
but yeah, I guess we could do like, you know, this could be the bright side rebirth, or
yeah,
you know, Marvel Now or New 52 or any of the umpteen billion reboots that we've had.
Bright Side Tales.
Yeah. Tales from the Dark Side.
You're dying to get to that dark side, aren't you?
Me and Dr. Joe, I mean, we're the only ones, but.
Yeah, he needs it like he needs air, I think he
said. I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, he just wants to laugh at me.
Yeah. I'll just get drunk and hop on his stream one night, and that'll satisfy both of our urges. And you won't have to be part of it at all.
Oh, I'll probably be there. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, well, like my wife said, even me drunk, she's like, they won't even know the difference.
Yeah.
You're just an idiot anyway. So it's like just a little.
I was thinking she was, you know, saying that, you know, you hold your alcohol well and, you know, you don't act the fool. But what she's saying is you basically are drunk and stupid all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm just stupid. Okay. You just add alcohol. Okay. It just adds some slurring.
Right.
So my witty banter is a little slower.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, while we're at the beginning here, first and foremost, today, Thursday, October 17th, is my wife's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Jen.
Thanks. So happy birthday, babe. And now she can stop listening because I know she doesn't usually listen all the way through.
Right.
I wanted to get that in at the beginning and not save it to the end.
See, you do it at the end.
Yeah, but she's not waiting
for
the birthday wishes.
Do you know why grocery stores put milk at the back of the store, DJ?
Yeah, so they can throw it out the back door when it goes bad.
No, that's not why they do it.
It's so you have to walk by everything else.
Exactly.
I was in retail too.
Exactly. So that's why you put these important announcements at the end of the show.
Well,
and tease it at the beginning. You say, tomorrow, October 17th, is a special day.
John,
stay
you're
tuned
ruining
to the
end.
End.
Today is October 17th. You're ruining the illusion.
That's what I said. Today, October 17th.
You said tomorrow.
Isn't that what I said?
No, you said tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, today, correct me, I don't know what day it is, I must be drunk, is a special day. Stay tuned till the end to find out why, and then, you know, then you got them.
Well, not her. She's like, yeah, it's my birthday.
Right. She's like, well, I already know, so yeah. I don't need to stick till the end.
Right.
So I think we beat that, you know, longer than we needed to.
Yep. Well, she, yeah, exactly. Birthday wishes ran long. That's okay. Yeah. She deserves it.
We're making mountains over here.
Yes, we are. All right, what do we got for news?
Well, actually, the first thing I had as a news story, the more I'm looking at it, I don't necessarily know that it's a news story per se, but it is something that I read that I think is an interesting topic, so I'm going to go ahead and bring it up anyways. So I was looking at a Forbes article that came out earlier this week, and they were talking about how for the first time ever, it seems that comic book readers are leaving superheroes behind. And as I said, for the first time ever, like superhero comic books are being outsold by other genres of comics. Most notably are the graphic novels, you know, in the young adult arena, and then the manga, like the Japanese manga comics, which are also primarily read by, you know, early teens, you know, early teen readers. So it seems like the market is shifting, and, you know, as much as the as much as there's a frenzy for superhero content in the world, it seems to be more focused on, you know, like the visual.
Yes.
Well, not, it's all visual, but, you know, on the TV and the movies and not so much the comics. And, like I said, the comics are being outsold actually and declining in market share. So I just think that's pretty interesting, especially, you know, from my perspective as a comic book store owner. So like I said, I thought it was a interesting topic and I thought I'd throw it out there to you to see if you had any thoughts on that or.
Actually, did you, I heard the Nerdy Legion today. Did you hear them talking at all?
I did not.
Okay. Martin actually referenced it, I think, a little bit when he said comic books are getting away from, a little bit of getting away from, like, the capes and cowls. Like, I think that's what he was referencing, right?
Right.
But he was talking about the latest, the Black Label book, Harley Joker book from last week, and how that's a more of a psychological story. And it's a deeper story. It's a more, obviously the Black Label's more adult stories themed. And it comes from the Batman universe, but the depth of that story is less superhero-ish. You know what I mean?
Right.
And what he was saying is like, yeah, that's what comic books could be. That's what they seem to be going to. And it was it's funny you even bring this up tonight because he said it probably over a week ago when he recorded, but yeah, so it is a good point. And the other thing I thought of is when I heard him talk about it and getting away from the superhero part, even the latest X-Men that we have loved so much, the depth of that isn't necessary. Yes, they have superpowers, but it's their plight. It's their everything they're dealing with, trying to be in society. You know what I mean?
So, right, and I do. I get all that, and I mean, I agree with that. That even our superhero comics are starting to become deeper. Yeah. But those still are, you know, in this data at least that we're talking about.
Right.
Those are still lumped in with the superhero comics.
Right. I'm just making the point that even the superhero comics are starting to get away from the "I'm swooping in and saving somebody" storyline. You know, it's getting more into the, I mean, even the Batman stories, they're getting more into the depth of him being with Selina, or it's getting, the stories are starting to get deeper and deeper because that's what the people are wanting. You know what I mean? So in everything you just said, that news report actually lends to that because that's the superhero side trying to compete against the people that are going elsewhere. You know what I mean? Do you agree with that or?
Well, I do. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but I think there's still two different audiences because, again, the books that are outselling right now, the superhero comics, are the books that are aimed at teens and under.
Yeah.
And yet, like the Harley, Joker, Criminal Sanity, or X-Men and things, these are comics that are skewing older. So I think they're still going after two different demographics, you know? But I feel like, you know, like went back when I was back there visiting in July, you know, we went to Friendly Neighborhood Comics and I talked with Ernie for a little while and we had a pretty good conversation about, you know, diversifying away from, you know, periodical comic books.
Right.
You know, because that's, you know, I think the day and age of comic book stores, quote unquote comic book stores being able to survive on just comic books is,
yeah,
you know, it's going to become difficult and it's kind of going away, because, you know, comic book circulation is down. And I think it's these other avenues in other markets that I think are what's going to help, you know, these stores survive and, ultimately, hopefully bring readers back into comic books because, you know, these are still graphic novels. They're still comic book type stories. They're, you know, like I said, they're animated, stories that kids are reading. And hopefully they will graduate into reading some of the more adult comics
right
down the line. But I don't know. Like I said, I just thought it was very interesting, and it is something, you know, not to get too businessy, but, I mean, it is something that I've been trying to focus a lot more on this year is diversifying the readership, you know, with other types of medium.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think reading this article just kind of cemented that idea, too, that you know, again, while superheroes are wildly popular out there, and I'm wondering if it's, if that's a cause and effect kind of relationship. Like, if you go back to the 90s and you look at comics, and I know there's more to, like, there was a lot more going on in the 90s with comics that, that contributed to the, you know, the millions of copies that a comic book would sell. But I think also part of it may be that that's where you had to go to get your superhero content.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to see the X-Men right. or Spider-Man, you had to go to comics. Whereas nowadays, I don't have to go to comics to get Spider-Man or the X-Men or anything. So
right.
I think there is a little bit of cause and effect happening there. But
I also think that it's that is also having the reverse effect. People are seeing it on the big screen. People are hearing about Disney Plus, I think, is going to go a long way to add – more eyeballs to things because I know, for instance, like the whole, that X-Men's, I'm very much looking forward to the X-Men's, the animated series.
Right.
I never watched that. It was after my time and I'm really looking forward to that on Disney Plus. But aside from me, here's a decent segue. We had that whole TJ incident that happened Sunday, who is Ted Jackfany. My buddy that I skate with, he's 30 years old. He bought his first comic books on Sunday because right. he's, you know, he enjoys the movies. He's watching all of this stuff. He's listening to our podcast and he was like, you know what? This sounds like fun. So he's in the store now and he's like, it's, you know, so he's direct evidence that people are coming from the other direction. You know what I mean? Which
and
is
I'm
good
not
news.
Saying, right. It happens.
It's not huge.
Right.
We've got
right.
one.
I was to say, I'm not saying it never happens because it does, but it seems to be the opposite these days where,
yeah,
you know, more people are leaving than are coming in. But, you know, hey, like I said, we'll take them one at a time, kicking and screaming if we have to. So.
Oh, yeah.
But
no,
anyway, yeah, like I said, I just thought maybe it's something, you know, like, again, we could put it out there on Twitter and try to get more of a conversation going. I didn't want to turn this whole episode into a conversation about that. I just, like I said,
hey,
I thought
it's comic
it was
books. It's a good conversation. So
it is.
I mean, if people want to tweet us and add to the conversation, we can continue it next week too.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, there is a lot here. There's a lot of avenues to go on this, but it's, I mean, it's a good conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I think so.
But yeah, that, so Ted was the, Ted, I keep calling him Ted because of his Twitter feed. It's, I know him as TJ.
Yeah.
But yeah, he went to the midnight, of X-Men last night. Midnight
release.
I saw
the picture.
Yeah. It was so funny. He skated with us last night. He's been skating with me for years, but he took the winter off. He actually filled in last night because he wanted to stay awake so that he could go to the midnight afterwards with me. And in the locker room, he was, and I really did want to bring this up because I think it's one of those misconceptions that a lot of people have. He was literally nervous. Like going into a comic book store for the first time. And he's like, he was intimidated, which most people are anything when they do anything new. And he was like, oh, I can't wait to go tonight and have you there and this. And it's like, but it's like the comic book store is so funny. We said it a long time ago. We talked about this, but it's one of the most least intimidating places once you get in there.
Right.
You know, it's like, I understand how people feel on the outside because I've been there myself. But then once you're in there, everybody's so nice. And it's like, everybody is helpful. Everybody wants to talk to you about comic books. And it's like, right. And that's kind of what we're doing. What we wanted to do here is like, that's, you know, give that atmosphere of hanging out in a comic book store and be like, you know, if the hammer's in an elevator, what happens? You know, that conversation. And it was fun being there last night with TJ and walking around and talking. Right. And we had like legit comic book conversations in the store, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot. And he had a lot of fun. Another guy from my team showed up. He lived down the street and he just dropped by, and he's like, he's older than me. And he dropped in and he thought it was funny. He was going to make fun of us. Next thing you know, he walks in, he's picking up books and he's like, oh, this looks like something I'd read. And I was like, then buy it. But it was a lot of fun. I can't wait to see what he thinks. I put him on to Once in Future.
Oh yeah,
They Friendly Neighborhood had all three right there. So I was like, grab these. These are great. And and Watchmen. You know, a little light reading.
Yeah.
I handed him Watchmen. I go, here you go. This will catch you up for the series. He's like, oh wow. So yeah, he spent a few bucks again last night, but
nice.
All right, what else we got?
So I don't know. I'm sure you probably saw this, but DC Universe put up a poll this week.
Uh-oh.
Soliciting the fate of Jason Todd. Yeah.
Oh, I stumped you there, didn't I?
Yeah. No, I was trying to think of something funny to say, but I'm just going to move on.
Yeah.
Anyway, put up a poll. Basically, to decide the fate of Jason Todd. And I don't know if you saw this.
I saw it, yeah.
You know, that harkens that. You probably don't remember this because you weren't reading comics back in the 90s, I guess, when they did the death of Jason Todd poll. Yeah, so same vein. I just thought it was really cool that they kind of brought that back. And don't know how legit that is and if they're going to really stick to it or not, but...
that's the only.
I just thought it was cool that they did that,
and that's why they did it. And it's like I think they have the. The only thing that I the immediate thought I had right when they did it, I was like, "What? They don't know yet? What? They haven't written it?" I was like, "Well, what the heck?"
And it
but
was,
then
well,
when
the thing
you
is,
when you think
was,
it through, I understood.
Well, the thing is, they when they put it up, the timing was such that we had ended on a cliffhanger.
Yes.
Where his fate was in question, right?
Rico splat.
And so then I was thinking to myself, is it for this already, this soon? I said, what did they do? Film like two different versions of every episode going forward? And it's like, there's no way they did that. Yeah. So I said, it's got to be for like the season finale where they probably recorded like two different endings or something. Or they're going to end it on a cliffhanger and then whatever the answer is will be how they open season three or something. But I don't know. Like I said, it was just very nostalgic. I remember that time and I remember calling and voting. Back in the day when I was a kid on that,
I didn't vote. I know of the event, but it was like, what do they have? Two endings for that episode, one called Boeing, the other called Splat.
Like, right.
Like, what do you do? Speaking of that, did you see the latest episode?
Well, I was going to say, I was going to segue into that myself. Yes. That is like the best superhero show going right. Well, definitely going right now, but I mean, even still, like, it's starting to ramp up to be
so,
like,
you know what I wanted to ask you about?
Really fantastic.
What do you think about what they're doing? I kind of like it. What do you think about how they're running their episodes? Like, it's almost like the season's almost like an episodic season. It all ties together, but it's almost like there's an almost like Powers and House. You know what I mean? Like, the episodes don't bookend up against each other. It's like, so episode three ends, and then that one continues in five, but you have four in the middle, and then the same happens on, you know what I mean? It's like, you don't get the direct answer.
Yeah. A lot of times I don't like episodes like that, like
it's
in,
working
in a lot of
here,
series.
Though, I thought,
but it right, but it seems to be working here. Like, because my closest example is like The Walking Dead, which I know you don't watch.
Yeah,
but, like this week's Walking Dead episode, for instance, is the episode about all the characters that nobody cares about. You know what I mean? It kind of goes
that
back
what
it's to
titled?
Like, yeah, kind of like goes back to when I was in college and you know I was married to my first wife who loved General Hospital. So of course I love General Hospital
yeah,
too.
I had a but girlfriend like that.
But like every other day, like every other day was like the Quartermain day, and nobody cared about that day. Yeah. But then, you know, then you had like the you
Scorpio.
Know the Frisco and Scorpio and all that on the other days, and those are the days you cared about,
right?
And it's kind of like that's how The Walking Dead
what
was.
What was the name of the spy agency they worked for? The WBC or something like that? Was that it? The World,
probably
something like that. I can't remember what it was, but that's all I cared about
either.
Was like the spy stuff that they worked
right,
for.
Right, exactly, but. You know, and like you said, you get those episodes of The Walking Dead where like this was the, you know, the origin, how Alpha and Beta met. And it's like, nobody cares. Like, who really cares about that?
Right.
But you have to watch it anyway.
Right.
And so, and all shows do that. Like, we complained in Daredevil when you had like the, and now I can't even remember her name, but.
Yeah.
The, you know.
Oh, not
the Karen.
Karen.
You got the Karen episode.
Episode, yeah. I actually
like
so
that
this
one. So
this
kind of
flashback,
felt the same way. But by the same token, it was actually really good. Like, it was a great episode, and I liked it a lot. But you're kind of, like, going halfway through it, and you don't think you're going to see any of the other characters at all. And you really don't until the very end.
Right.
But
I don't want to give anything away, because I know some people haven't gotten that far yet. But how about those fight scenes?
Oh, yeah, they were great.
I mean, don't talk.
Yeah,
what character we're talking about, but that is some of the best fight scenes, some of the best superhero scenes I've seen on TV.
It was so good. I think that show is really finding its legs, and it is some of the best. Like, if you're not watching it, you're really missing out.
Yeah.
Like, I really believe that. Like, that this show is getting better and better, and, you know, if it doesn't get renewed for a season 3, it'll be a shame because. It's really great TV. So,
yeah. One of the things I think that's working for that, the reason I think that episodic way they're doing it is working is you're not noticing, you could go 13 episodes.
Yeah.
It doesn't drag on because they'll, like, say they end, like I said, they'll end episode 3 on a cliffhanger. And when 4 starts, you don't get the answer. You might not get it to 5, but even 4 is that good. And then 4 ends on a cliffhanger, and then they start 5, and you get the answer to 3. But you know what I mean? And it's
but you don't have the answer to 4
yet. And it's so it really works, and it keeps you entertained. It's weekly. It's the Friday mornings that I have to go to work and not be able to, because it doesn't come out until 9 o'clock here now. The first season actually dropped at 6 o'clock. Every morning.
Oh, it's coming later.
It comes at everything comes at 9 now. It's disappointing. Oh, okay. So I have to wait till I get home.
Well, I always watch it after. I always watch it at night anyway.
Right.
But
yeah, it's so good. It's so good. Let's see. Would you sticking with DC, Zoe Kravitz cast as Catwoman?
Yeah, I was going to say we have our Catwoman. That was my next story as well.
That's pretty cool.
I literally don't know anything about her. I don't think I've ever seen anything she's ever been in, but I don't have a problem. Like, I think it's fine. The pictures I've seen online, she looks like a Catwoman.
Yeah.
So, you know.
What's his name? Batman. That's playing.
Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't they date? I thought I heard somebody in one of the news things saying that they had dated.
Oh, I don't know.
At some point. Which, if that's true, if I heard that correctly, that was kind of intriguing to me because it sounded like, it makes it sound to me like they're going for chemistry between those two.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, but if it was date past tense, maybe it didn't end well.
Yeah,
and,
but you would ask, you know,
sure.
It's not one of those, I can't be seen on screen with them. But you know what I mean? So if they have chemistry, that is very encouraging to me that you're going to get some of that Batcat story, which would be really good.
Yeah. And it's Jason Momoa's stepdaughter. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you're keeping it in the family, right? It's like Aquaman, you know, you got
her
all the
whole
DC.
Family's famous.
Yeah, but
Lisa Bonet's her mother, Lenny Kravitz is her father.
Yeah, but they're not
the
in
one
DC
guy
movies.
That has no blood whatsoever in the thing. You go with Aquaman
because he's in DC. Part of the DC family.
Oh, okay.
Lisa Bonet's never done a comic book movie, and neither has Lenny Kravitz. So,
Hunger Games. Yes, anyway. Of.
Who was in Hunger Games?
Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I took my daughter to see all of those, so.
Okay.
Let's see. What else do we got here? Oh. Yeah, I won't even. I have it in my notes. I have it in my DCU Titans thing. I won't even mention it. It's kind of a spoiler.
You shouldn't have brought it up.
What's that?
Then you shouldn't have talked about it. Now I want to know.
Yeah. Oh, here's an interesting tweet I saw yesterday. Batman vs. Superman, Dark, controversial, no critical approval, still made $873 million. Shazam, funny, safe, heavy critical approval, but only made $360 million. Which tone would you rather? And that comes from Damie Dwards, on Twitter, at DAAMIEDWARDS, whatever that is.
Okay. So I don't understand the question. I don't think tone has anything to do with why one's considered a success and one isn't.
Well, no. Actually, here's the thing. One's considered critically a success. The other one is monetarily a success. One made $873 million and was considered a flop. And the other one is considered awesome and only made $360 million.
Right. But again, that's got nothing to do with what...
You know
Shazam
what I mean?
Was still more of a success because it cost so much less to make. Like, it's still relative. Like, the budgets for each movie
don't equal that, though. It still made way more in percentages because, you know what you'd have to make? One was like $200 million, the other was $300 million. It was like, they aren't that far off in budget as compared to what they made. You know what I mean? They're $500 million apart.
I mean, I get that, but there's marketing. There's other things that go into it, too.
Still like, it's still $500 million. You can't say that that was all. It cost them $500 million more to make Batman Superman.
The marketing budget is not included in the production budget of a movie.
Okay.
So when you think about whether they were profitable movies or not, that's still part of it.
Okay. But it's even that. Say it cost them $873 million to make the movie. They still made $500 million more. It brought in $500 million more, regardless of what their profit was. It still made $500 million more than
right,
the other movie.
I still don't understand the comparison. Like Batman versus Superman was not considered the flop. It was Justice League that was really considered the flop. You know what I mean? Batman versus Superman, even though it wasn't loved by everybody, that's not the one that was there where everybody was so down on. It was Justice League,
right?
You know,
but the question was which tone would you rather? And it's kind of like it seems like people prefer the dark tone.
Not apples to apples, because look at the Marvel movies. None of them are dark, and they make more money than both of those things put together. So I mean, I guess
that
would
not all of
them
do. Not all of them do. I mean, you can pick and choose, but
good portion of them do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think they're not. It's not apples to apples. They're just two different types of movies. Like I loved both of them, so I mean, I don't.
I just thought it was interesting. I didn't know Shazam only made $360 million. That's all.
Yeah. I
surprised by that
number. I thought it was more than that too. But I guess you know numbers don't lie, so I'm sure that is what it is. But. I felt like it did better than that because I mean Aquaman made $1 billion, right? So
yeah, and that's not
again.
Dark.
It was not dark at all. So
nope.
Wonder Woman also.
Yep.
So I mean, I guess the answer to the question is not dark, right? I mean,
well, it's just which would you prefer? I like them both.
I like them both, but. Right, I like them both too in regard to the movie that I'm watching. Like a Batman movie should be dark in tone, whereas an Aquaman movie or Shazam should not. My Daredevil movie should be dark in tone, you know, and
right.
My Guardians of the Galaxy should not. So, I mean, I just think it's different. It
right.
should fit what you're watching. And in both of them, have their merits based on what you're watching.
Right.
Now, I mean, like a Superman movie that's super dark in tone, then I don't think that's a hit. You know, I mean, that's, and that was some of the criticism with Zack Snyder's Superman is that it was too dark. So I think as long as it fits the subject that you're watching, you know, either one of them is preferable.
Yeah.
So
I just think, I also think that the money is Shazam wasn't as big of a character as Batman.
Well, exactly.
And Superman.
Right. Exactly. Right. Who knows Shazam? Really, outside of a few comic book readers, nobody knows who Shazam is unless you're 75 years old or you read. And even if you read comics, there's not a lot of Shazam happening still. You know, like you still have to look for him.
They actually rebooted it. Because of the movie. Before that, there wasn't anything except
he showed up in the Justice League animated show. And then he did like six backup issues in the New 52. But yeah, there's not a lot of even now. I mean,
he's in Young Justice too.
Yeah.
That was a couple years ago.
With him being back in the main DCU, you still don't see him a lot. I mean, in the comics, you know. They just don't use them all that much, but, that has a lot to do with, you know, the box office as well. So.
All right. You want to get to our question of the week here that we got on Twitter?
Sure. I mean, I had more news stories, but.
All right. Let's do a couple more. Let's finish the news stories and then we'll, because this one's going to be a discussion
too. Throwing me
off
my game. Yeah. So. Well, Kevin Feige, I don't know. I'm sure you saw this.
Saw that.
Being named as chief creative officer. Chief Creative Officer for all of Marvel.
Right.
So,
he was just movies, now he's everything.
Right. So now he's going to be everything, including print media, which I think is exciting because...
you think he's going to intertwine them?
Well, I just think... I'm hoping that with his...
Here come the X-Men.
I'm hoping that under his guidance that at least when we get a new Avengers movie in a theater, that the comic book on the stand will somewhat match the... characters we're getting in the movie, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past that's not been the case, you know.
Do you think that's a good thing though?
I think it is a great thing because the problem is, like, again, Avengers movie comes into the theaters. I have people walking out of the movie theater and walking into my store looking for the Avengers comic, and they come in for the Avengers comic and they just watched, you know, Tony Stark and, you know, Thor and all these people on the screen, and you come into the comic and it's Riri Williams, Iron Man, Ironheart. It's Jane Foster, Thor. It's, you know, it's all these characters that don't match what they just saw, and they're newer readers, like potential newer readers that have just watched this movie, and they come in and want to read something based on what they saw, and it's not there. It doesn't exist unless you go to older back issue comics. And it's intimidating for new readers walking into a comic book store for the first time to say, hey, go dig through all those long boxes and look for some old Avengers comics. So, I mean, not that I don't think those characters have a place in comics, but I think if you're going to put that big product on the screen, you should have something similar to match, you know, in your comics for people that are coming in looking for that.
Right.
At least
a run that matches it.
Right.
Because I don't want everything to be like that, because I don't want all my Batman stories. I don't need any more Batman stories, to be honest with you.
It's just that maybe there'll be just a little bit more cohesion between what we're seeing up on the screen and what we're getting in print. Again, I'm not saying that those characters don't deserve to exist and they shouldn't be out there in comics, but again... You know, when you're going to have a big budget film like that on the screen, you should have something similar in your print that people can come and find and read.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I think it's really cool. You know, I liked the stuff that Jeff Loeb was doing for Marvel TV with, you know, the Netflix and all those shows. But I still just think having Kevin Feige over the whole shooting match is just going to bring more. You know, more cohesion to everything.
Yeah. More continuity.
Yeah. And then last but not least, I just saw this today, but it looks like Netflix announced that they're doing an animated series based on Jeff Smith's Bone comic book series. This is not something I was super familiar with, to be honest with you, and I almost didn't even bring it up as a story. But, like, the outpouring of positivity in the comments about this makes me feel like that this is pretty, like this is a very popular series, more popular than I knew that it was. Like I sell Bone comics in the store, but not to a, like not to the degree that,
right.
Kind of justifies the comments that I was reading about this. Like people really, really love this and are really excited for it. So good. To the point where I actually, you know, pulled
Boned
one
up.
And added it. I'm pulling it. I'm adding it to my reading list as something, you know, that, not that my list is any, you know, it's getting shorter.
No.
By any stretch, but.
This week's list was long.
Yeah. Yeah.
The books well, this like week said, were all huge.
Yeah. And, yeah, they were. And I'm still trying to go back and get caught up on some other older series. So, but yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it seems to be some of, you know, a fan favorite series. So I figured I would bring it up as news that, you know, people should be
cool.
excited for.
Cool.
So yeah, that's it.
All right. Yeah. So our question of the week comes from Comic Busters at Busters_comic on Twitter. At Brightside Chat, hope it's not too late to throw questions out for the next chat/podcast. No, because there's always another one.
I say, if we haven't recorded it yet, it's not too late.
Yep. And even if we had, there's another one coming up. Right. If you could bring any comic hero or villain from any book or franchise to complete a Dungeons and Dragons adventure, whom would you bring? So I got this and I texted it to you and I was like, you're going to have to answer this one because I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. And you immediately replied, okay, but you could too.
Right. You don't have to have played to answer this.
But yes, you'd have.
No, because, you just have to know what Dungeons and Dragons is.
And I don't know what it is.
Come on.
No, and that's, so what happened was, is after you said that, I went to a buddy of mine at work, Zach, who he plays Dungeons and Dragons every like Wednesday night and Saturday. And I know this at Legends Comics and Games right down the street from where we work. So I went to him and I was like, I asked him the question. And he was like, huh, that's a really good question. And I was like, good. I'm glad you think so. And he goes, why? And I go, because I have no idea what the answer is. I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. And to be fair, I've never been asked to play Dungeons and Dragons. It's never been in my – nobody – and it. This question actually made me think of that. I'm like, wait a minute. Nobody's ever – I've never even – I've never refused it. But I don't know if I would accept it because I'm not into fantasy stuff.
Right.
But I've never said no. So I can say that. But anyway, so he started explaining it to me. And before you give your answer, I'd like to give the answer he
gave, and then
mine. So his first answer was he thought about it and he goes, he said he'd have to go with Shazam because Shazam has, you know, he can deal with magic and you have to be able to deal with all of these other, you have to be able to deal with the magic and all of this stuff. And he started explaining the game to me a little bit and I got that. So then I said, my immediate response when I saw this question, well, when you said you should answer it, I was like, and I said to Zach, I go, well, I would want to go with Spider-Man because he's like my favorite character. Right. And then Zach was like, that's actually a really good one. And I was like, because of the Peter Tingle. Right. And he's like, exactly. If he can anticipate, he can web people's hands up so they can't get their spells off. He can do this. He can do that. And he has the spider sense so that he knows what's about to happen. So that's where I was coming from in my ignorant knowledge. He had a few other suggestions too, but his main one was Shazam. So where were you going?
So I thought about it in terms of like character classes and tried to go – you know, come up with like the best example for
that was a fly over my head,
right? For a character class. So, for instance, like if I was going to play a barbarian, I would pick Conan, right? Because Conan is the best barbarian.
And Zach said this to me, yeah.
And then, you know, if I was going to be a magic user, I would pick either like Merlin or Gandalf or somebody like because they're the famous magic users, right?
Yeah.
So I thought about what I like to play, and I like to play like stealthy characters, like a rogue thief is what I played in D&D. So I picked Waldo because
Like,
nobody
Waldo?
Ever knows where. Yeah, right. Because nobody ever knows where he is. So that's my answer. I'm going to be a thief called Waldo.
I was like, comic hero or villain, and you went
doesn't
with,
matter. It's you, Waldo.
You went a with character. A wallpaper theme.
Yep. It's like, yeah. Yeah. That's my answer. Final answer.
You sure you don't want to phone a friend?
I don't need a lifeline. I don't need to phone a friend. no, I mean, again, I thought about lots of different things. Like, right, like, I could be Darth Vader. Darth Vader would be awesome in a D&D campaign. There's lots of things you could do. But like I said, I tried to break it down by character class. And, you know, like I said, there's perfect examples for each one. You know, like a healer, you could do, I don't know, pick some doctor, like Dr. McCoy or something. I don't know, from Star Trek. But yeah, so I'm going to be Waldo the Thief. So.
Okay. I like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And Zach's going to be Shazam. But Zach said Zach was explaining the same thing to me. He goes, it depends on what kind of campaign it is, what kind of, you know, all these, exactly like you said, it's like, you know, if you're doing whatever.
Well, the thing is, campaign be damned, like there's still, you still pick a character. Like, you're always going to pick a class of character no matter what the surroundings are going to be.
Right.
And then, like, you tailor it to.
Right. And he had said, like, he's done an underwater campaign on something. And he goes, so you pick Aquaman, you know? And it's like, it depends on what you're going to do. And it's like, this literally, because of this question, this is the most in depth I've ever gone with Dungeons and Dragons. I've learned a lot. It's like, but yeah, so it's, I mean, I thought it was pretty cool.
It's a good question. I actually, that's why I thought I wanted you to answer too, because I thought it would be something.
But you're like, all you have to know is Dungeons and Dragons. I was like, yeah, that's the thing I'm missing.
You watch Stranger Things. I mean, all you have to know is what Dungeons and Dragons is. All you have to know is it's a role playing game.
Right. I watched.
And you play fighters and magic users, and that's it. That's all you really have to know.
I've seen
to
Big
answer.
Bang Theory. I've seen Stranger Things. Right. I've seen people play, but I don't know what picking a character means. I don't know what it, you know, I don't know what
that
entails.
But that wasn't the fun of the question. The fun of the question was just picking a character. Like, you know, Batman. Like, Batman would be great in D&D, right? Because Batman
right.
can solve any riddle or problem or
Zach was saying the opposite. He'd be tough because he has no powers, but he could figure, but Zach did say exactly what you're saying. He goes, but he could figure things out, but he has no powers. So
well,
it's
right,
like,
but neither does a like a swordsman fighter, like for instance, like he has no power. Conan has no powers either. He just is a combat, you know, he's proficient
combatant.
In combat, and so is Batman. So
I wanted to know,
and honestly,
why
I tried to go away from that. Like, I was trying to think of like, not the obvious answers, like Superman. Like, I'd
just
be Superman.
You hit the mark with that. Waldo is not obvious.
That's why I went with
Waldo.
That's
the definition of Waldo.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to come in ignorant. I wanted to have you know, if you said, why did you pick Spider-Man? I don't know. Red and blue, my favorite colors. I don't know.
Right. I wouldn't have grilled you. I wouldn't have put your feet to the fire, because I think it's one of those questions where it's just a what if. Well, because it's just a what if type of question.
Oh, so you're
like,
one of those
no
Dungeons and Dragons players.
There's no right or wrong answer.
So next time I'm down there and we play you invite me to play Dungeons and Dragons, go pick a superhero. I pick Spider-Man. You kill me like in the first whatever because, well, he's got no powers and I just killed you. But you didn't explain that to me. Oh, your fault.
You're bad.
You're bad. You'll learn.
Yeah. Hey, we could play. I've played. I haven't played in a long time, but I've got groups that run out of my store, so we could sit in and play.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So is that a rock? That was a good discussion.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought it was good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great discussion. So.
Yeah.
Comic Busters, you get a rock.
Awesome.
So DM me your address, and I will mail you out a Kryptonite Key Club rock.
I would like to get more things like, I would love to get more questions like that, that we both have to kind of come up with an answer to.
Yeah, I actually had to research.
Yeah.
That was great. That. All right. That good?
I think so.
Oh, I think I just caught you in a yawn.
You did.
It's still early. All right.
Yeah. Well, you could take it out.
No, not this
But
one.
Now you talked about it, so you have to leave it in.
Yep. That's right. All right. What am I spending my money on this week?
Nothing.
What, you've been waiting all day to say that?
No, I haven't. But yeah, well, as far as speculative books for this week, I don't have any. Which I think this is 2 weeks in a row now that there really haven't been.
You had kind of quiet on one last week.
Maybe, yeah, it's been pretty quiet on the speculator front.
Yeah, this is the first time with none.
Yeah, you know, of course, the big book of the week was X-Men number one, but after House and Powers ended, like we all knew that we needed to order a whole bunch of these. Excuse me. So there was no shortage of copies of this anywhere. It's not like we got caught short like House and Powers in the beginning. So nothing really stands out as far as speculator.
So I have a speculator question for you since we have none this week. Okay. I thought I'd fill this time in with
as opposed to just moving the show along and getting done a couple minutes early. Let's talk more. Let's go ahead.
Sorry. Am I bothering you? No. So this came up on Nerdy Legion today.
Okay.
Who's hotter, Jessica Rabbit or Holly from Cool World?
Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah, that's who I have to go with.
Yeah.
Because she almost caused a divorce in my house.
Yeah. Did she really?
You don't know that story?
I do not. So I have to know now.
When my kids were little, well, to this day, we still name all of our vehicles for the most part.
Okay.
So like, I think my wife's, she had
you smash them with a bottle of champagne
listen.
When you buy them? Okay.
No, yeah. So, it started with my wife. She had a Zuzu Rodeo, a red one, which was the same color as the, train James from Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that one was named James, and then it went on from there, I believe. I can't remember all their names, but I have a 2005 RX-8. When we bought, she's red. She's red, and we were like, we have to name her. And this is I bought her used 2007. Yeah. So we have to name her, and it's a curvy RX-8. So I was like, let's think of a curvy redhead. And I said, Jessica. Jen, happy birthday, babe. Yeah. She flipped out. She, like, her face... Who's Jessica? I'm like, rabbit. I'm like, rabbit. I could have said anybody. And it's like, so we ended up, we couldn't use Jessica after that. She was so angry because she thought it was like I had a girlfriend named, I'm like I, if I had a girlfriend named Jessica, I would be like, let's name my car after her.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gave you that info.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's funny. I was like, Jessica Rabbit, the curvy redhead. What are you talking about? And she was so mad. So we ended up settling on Mary Jane. So that's the name.
And she didn't say, who's Mary Jane? And
no.
like any name you picked could have been the same argument.
No, exactly. You know? But the next one I said, how about from Spider-Man's girlfriend? And I prefaced it with who she was before I said the name. So we are all happy with Mary Jane. So
nice.
And we call her MJ for short. So
I'm usually happy on Mary Jane too, but
yeah, I know. That's the one flaw.
Yeah.
So all right, enough speculating.
I don't know how that's a speculator question, but I appreciate the question nonetheless.
So, all right. That question comes from Martin of the Nerdy Legion.
Awesome.
He does not get a rock.
No.
He's got to work harder than that, buddy. All right. All right, now we move on to back issue bonus.
All right, so first book is Spider-Man Unlimited, issue number one. This is the first appearance of Shriek, who is now being rumored to appear in Venom 2 alongside Carnage. So there's a million of these out there. This was the first part of the Maximum Carnage storyline, you know, in the 90s that ran for like 15 issues, and it sold tons of copies. So there's lots of these out there. But they are selling right now for about $15. They were $5 or less a week ago.
Oh, wow.
But even though, again, there's a lot out there, this will continue to trend upward if this, you know, turns out to be true and not just a rumor. You know, because if she appears in the movie, you know, same thing, like the first appearance of Deadpool, there's a million of those out there too, but it's still a $250 comic book. So, you know, if she appears in the movie and it ends up being a thing. This is definitely one that would be worth picking up if you don't have one already. And if you do have, you know, one or 10 of them, hold on to them and put them to the side. These things come in, like, I currently don't have one, of course, because it's going up in price, but like every collection I ever buy has a set of Maximum Carnage in it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I get them all the time, but of course, you know, right now I don't have one, and I had people calling me for him yesterday when the story was breaking.
Of course.
And, you know, of course, now when I want to get him again, I'll have to pay more for him. But it shouldn't be too hard to find one of these out there, and I definitely would grab one. Next, we have Monstrous, issue number one. So we've talked about this book a couple of times before, but now there's rumors of an HBO Max series around this. And, you know, again, it's got the rumor mill has prices, you know, soaring on this right now. Unslabbed copies, which are ungraded copies, are selling for about $60 right now. And the second printing is selling for over $100. So again, I think that's just, you know, second printing being a less of a print run. You know, there's not as many of them out there. You know, like this book is held steadily in the $25 to $30 range ever since it came out. And this is a popular book and a strong seller. So I don't see this thing going down in price. You know, even if this turns out to not make its way to HBO Max, there's been enough rumors around this being picked up somewhere that somebody will end up putting this out as a streaming show or movie. So I would think, again, this is a book that's starting to rise to the point where, again, if you want to pick one of these up, you should probably go ahead and do it now before it gets too high. Next, we have Doctor Strange number 381. This is the first appearance of Batch the Dog. Not sure why this is going up necessarily. I mean, Batch the Dog played a big role in the last Doctor Strange run that just ended. And, you know, there's a new Doctor Strange title launching in December. I don't know if Batch the Dog will be a big part of that, but for whatever reason, this is selling for about $15 right now. It's not a ton of money, so, you know, it might be worth picking up a copy just in case they do something else with, maybe he shows up in Doctor Strange 2 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask. Is there any rumors of that?
I haven't heard anything as far as... there's no news, though, at all about Doctor Strange 2 at this point.
Isn't that two years away?
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know that they even have a script at this point. So I don't know if it's a movie-related. Or like I said, it could just have something to do with him appearing a lot in the comics lately, and people are, you know, picking up on the first appearance. But anyway, $15 for that. Next we have Convergence Superman issue number 2. This is the first appearance of John Kent. You know, this book has been probably a $8 to $10 comic for a while, ever since, you know, he first kind of showed up with the Super Sons and, you know, things like that. But there are a lot of rumors swirling around DC right now, and we didn't really touch on this at all. But there's big rumors that in 2020, DC is going to radically change their superhero lineup, where most of the existing characters are going to step down and basically have successors to themselves, you know, in the comics. And, you know, the rumor is that John Kent will, you know, of course, become Superman, and Clark will step aside. So, you know, again, if this ends up being true, and it's a rumor, but it's there's a lot of good sources around it, so this is probably going to happen. And I can see this book, you know, climbing from there. If he takes over, as the official Superman. That's a topic for another day, though, because I think that bears diving into some more, because I'm not super, super stoked about that whole situation, but, we'll move on.
It's a big market tease.
Yeah.
Oh, we're bringing the heat in year two.
throwing a little controversy for the future.
Yeah.
So, sowing the seeds for controversy.
Be exciting.
Yeah.
That's all right. I got some controversy coming up later.
Oh, okay. Oh man, I can't wait. Let's skip right to it.
No.
No. All right. I'm going to skip Spawn 249, so don't talk about it.
You just did.
Well, because I know if I don't say that, you'll just talk about it. Well, you didn't say Spawn 249.
I said it twice.
So the last one I have is Deadpool, Merc with the Mouth, issue number 7. This is the first appearance of Lady Deadpool. Again, I'm not quite sure why this is back on the radar right now, because as far as I know, I haven't seen Lady Deadpool appear in a comic in quite some time. But it is there. It does have some heat right now, and it's selling for $35 to $50. So I know there's a new Deadpool series on the horizon too, right at the beginning of the year, and maybe she has something to do with that. Otherwise, you know, she's a relatively popular character, so it could just be, you know, people jumping on and trying to pick up that first appearance again. But usually these things get hot based around reasons, like, you know, announcements or appearances or something. So I haven't seen a Lady Deadpool announcement, at least that I can remember, so I'm not quite sure what's going on there. But that's it for back issue bonus.
All right, let's move on to final order cutoff for Monday.
All right, so for DC, we have variant covers for Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, issue number 3. So if you've been following this series at all, you know there's like there's always a pair of variant covers, one Harley and one Ivy, done by different artists. So this month's covers are done by David Finch. And like I said, there's one Harley and one Ivy. And they look pretty good. The art is shown in black and white, so I don't know if it's unfinished or if these are going to be black and white covers. But if you look at the images on the previous website right now, they're both black and white. And then Superman 17, we have the Adam Hughes variant cover. New series from DC, we have Dollhouse Family, issue number 1. This is going to be a 6-issue miniseries. This is part of the Joe Hill horror label that DC is running. And this is the second title that was in the sampler that came out a couple of weeks ago. I read the sampler and I really liked this, so I'm looking forward to Dollhouse Family number 1. I recommend anybody that likes horror books at all to go out there and pick up a copy of that. And then we have Far Sector, issue number 1, and this is going to be a 12-issue miniseries. And there's 2 covers for it. This one kind of came out of left field for me. Like, I don't remember seeing an announcement for this, but this is another Green Lantern story for a Green Lantern that we haven't met yet. So, yeah. So it looks interesting, but I don't know a whole lot about it. I'm hoping that they drop us a PDF or something over the weekend that we can take a look at. But that's it as far as DC goes. From IDW, we have Dungeons and Dragons Infernal Tides, issue number 1. There's going to be 5 issues here, and there's 2 covers for that. From Image, we have Family Tree, issue number 1. Only 1 cover there. And then Marvel has no variant covers, once again, that are available to look at. New series. This first one isn't really a new series, but it's the Black Cat Annual, issue number 1. And I only mention this because you and I had talked about it a while back. This was the tease of the wedding between Peter and Felicia Hardy.
Yeah.
So I still don't know what's going on with that. I guess we'll have to wait for the annual to find out. But nothing in the current run of comics lends me to know what's going on with that story. So I think that'll be pretty interesting. And there are multiple covers there. Then we have Fallen Angels, issue number 1. Morbius, issue number 1. And Punisher Soviet.
All with multiple covers?
Yeah, I was going to say that at the end. Because it's Marvel, so they all have multiple covers. But Punisher Soviet, again, issue number 1 of 6. This is the Garth Ennis run of Punisher that, again, we talked about a little while back. People seem to be excited for this because Garth Ennis had a pretty great run on Punisher some years ago. So that one should see a lot of heat too. That's it for Marvel. From Boom, we have Folk Lords, issue number 1. There's a 5-issue miniseries there with multiple covers. From Vault Comics, we have Black Stars Above, issue number 1. There's 2 covers there. Archie has Cosmo the Mighty Martian, number 1 of 5. and Zenoscope has Robin Hood Vigilante, number one. It doesn't say of five, but Zenoscope, these all tend to be five-issue miniseries. So I would think this Robin Hood is going to be a miniseries as well.
I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, of course, being Zenoscope again, there's five or six covers for that. So I do want to circle back real quick to Black Stars Above, issue number one. Got to read a PDF of that you sent me yesterday. And it's fairly interesting. I don't know if you got a chance to read it or not.
I haven't. Not yet.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know Martin also from Nerdy Legion posted about it yesterday or today also.
I think he said the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said, keep an eye on it, take a look at it.
It seems interesting.
It seems interesting, yeah.
But this is a book that a lot of stores may not go very heavy on, so like if it sounds like something you might want to order, I would definitely get into your store before Monday and get them to put an order in for you. Because I know after having read it, I'll increase my order by a few copies at least. Still not one that I'm going to go, like I'm not going to order 20 copies of it or anything, but yeah. I'll get more than the two or three that I probably would have ordered.
What? I wish I knew it was FOC today. I definitely would have read it. What's the gist of it to give people an idea of if it's in their wheelhouse?
It seems to take place in like the late 1700s, early 1800s.
Yeah.
And, it's really just kind of like a frontier family kind of life going on, but you have a daughter who, is basically the parents have arranged a marriage for her that she's not really into, but the family needs the money and the connections that they're going to get from marrying her off. And so, she's not too keen on this. So she, kind of runs away from home and runs into a guy in town that asks her to basically deliver a package for her and offers her, $200, which in that day and age was a huge sum of money to deliver this package. And, tells her that, don't open it. if it doesn't get where it's going and it's open before it gets there, I'll know. And so, this kind of the story of her kind of setting out to deliver this thing, and mayhem ensues along the way. So
I'm flipping through it right now.
It's like a black and white, it's kind of done
color,
in,
but
is it done in color?
Yep.
I feel like the PDF I had was black and white.
Really?
Maybe I'm wrong.
Black Stars Above, right?
Yeah,
that's what I'm with. Number one, Nadir Cha Simpson. Yep. Yeah, it's in color.
I don't know why I had it in. I don't know why. Maybe it was just monochromatic and not.
Yeah, I clicked on the link that I sent you.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I had it in my head that I remembered it being black and white, but it wasn't. Don't listen to anything I say.
Is it me or does one of the characters, he a spitting image of Van Gogh? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, kind of.
Color.
Yeah. See? Well, yeah, I see it. I get it. But yeah, it does look like Van Gogh.
Yeah. His good side.
No. I don't know what I was. Oh, you know what I was thinking of? It reminded me a lot of that one I talked about a few weeks ago, the Forever Map or something. I got that confused in my head for a minute.
Yeah,
because that was black and white. Yep. But yeah, for some reason, these books reminded me like they kind of.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that, and that's why I was thinking it was black and white, because I was thinking of that other book. But
this one's kind of gruesome.
It is.
As I flip through, Yeah. I like the artwork. It's
what's sketchy.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's sketchy.
Because I didn't find the art to be the strongest part of it, but
but it's not bad. I think it goes with the theme from the time period. It really matches that. I'm actually just by flipping through here and seeing what I'm seeing, I want to read the story, especially after you guys said it was interesting. So, and what I've read so far at the beginning, just while we were talking about it, looks pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, like I said, I think it's good. Check I don't want to give it away, but like I said, it's one that a lot of stores may not order a lot of. So
is there anywhere that people can go to check it out? Like a little bit of it? Like just get a, you know,
well,
what I
mean? I think Previous World might show a page or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. All just right. to get an idea of what it, you know, what the art might look like. But yeah, as far as getting the full PDF, I don't think there's anywhere they can get that. So
yeah. All right. So yeah, that was pretty
they
cool.
They can start a podcast and join the Nerdy Legion, and then Martin will send it to them. As long as you do it before Monday. So
all right. Yeah, that's funny. All right, so we on to recommended reading?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Actually, let's get into the book club.
All right. That's right. It's not recommended reading. This is year two already.
Yeah, I know. You'd think I would have gotten it by now. Yeah. All right. So we're not hitting on all cylinders.
Not yet.
And here you are. Last year, you wouldn't have called me out on it right away. So honeymoon's over. I gotta,
that's
you know,
right.
I get it. What have you done for me lately? Oh, boy. Now I'm married twice.
I know.
Just what I needed. All right. Well, it looks like
you must be living in Utah. I didn't know you were living in Utah.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like we read all the same books except for the last one. I'll go first. I'll do mine first. The all one right. Maybe you read it for all I know. I really actually enjoyed this. I picked it up. It was a Halloween idea. I saw it on the shelf. Xenoscope's Grim Tales of Terror.
Yeah.
For 2019.
I haven't read it
yet. You haven't read it?
I will. No, but I will read it.
It's three different stories. The first story isn't as strong in that the way it ended. It just ended a little too abruptly for me. Okay. But the story was, as I was reading it, I coach for USA Hockey, and we have to go through a lot of training, and it's getting worse and worse every year, and you have to go through more and more. And the first story in this is about bullying, and it was like literally the entire story. I feel like I watched it in one of the seminars.
Okay.
On like what not to do and what not to allow. And it really, I mean, if you're, you know, and bullying usually strikes a chord with most people these days. And
right.
it obviously does me too. But it was a good story in that. I just thought it ended a little abruptly. I was like, what? Okay. We're going on to the next story. Second story was pretty good. It was very, very good.
Okay.
But the third story, I can't wait for you to read it. It was just a lot of fun. They're short, quick stories, but it was, you know, Tales from the Cryptish
right.
type deals. But this last story, I can't wait for you to read it. I don't want to tell you anything about it because if I tell you even the littlest thing, you'll be like, oh, okay. But I as a Halloween thing, it's definitely worth picking up. It's good stories, fun, definitely, like I said, Grim Tales of Terror 2019 Halloween special from Xenoscope. It's got a pretty cool cover, so I know you've seen it, but
yeah. So Xenoscope always does.
Yeah. So the writers were, I believe it's Richard Allen wrote the first one, Raven Gregory wrote the second, and Ben Mears wrote the third one, I believe.
Okay.
So, and then the art would be in order of Butch K. Mappa, Umberto Giampa, and Salvatore Cafari.
Okay. So. Sounds good.
All right. And now let's get into the other book. You actually listed, you're supposed to list two. You listed three.
Well, because I knew we were going to talk about that last
X-Men.
One at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's start with whichever one you would like to start with.
All right. Well, I'll start with Marked, issue number one. This was from Image Comics, written by David Hine and Brian Haberlin. And art by Brian Haberlin. So this was actually a pretty interesting book. It revolves around a young girl who, you know, is an artist, likes to draw all the time. And, you know, of course, you and I can relate to that. She walks into, I guess, a coffee shop or something.
And I'm marked.
Yeah. You're marked?
Yeah.
I'm marked as well. But anyway, she walks into a coffee shop and the waitress or somebody that's in there knows she likes to draw and hands her a flyer, you know, that says draw Tippy the Turtle or Pirate Pete, you know, we used to see in the back of the magazines.
Yeah, exactly. Did you
but
see
But yeah, she basically, what, go ahead.
Did you see the one that the drawing that they asked you to draw?
Yeah.
Isn't that a familiar, I couldn't figure out which one that was. Is that one of those flip drawings?
I don't know, but it's something we've seen before.
I thought so.
But yeah, so, you know, again, you know, if you're old like we are, you know, you used to see in the back of the magazines and stuff that, you know,
yeah,
draw Tippy the Turtle or whatever, and you would send it in the art school, and no matter what it looked like, would say, that looks awesome, send us your tuition, and you can be an artist too.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
My parents never sent the tuition.
Yeah, this is a little different though. So, of course, she looks at the picture and sees something completely different than what's on the page, and she draws it. And this, you know, ended up being a test. You know, this was a test put out there, and they're trying to find people with like the spark of magic or
right,
whatever it was that she had. So, you know, she gets invited into this secret society of magic users, and basically they mark them, you know, when they're trained sufficiently in magic, they mark themselves with tattoos, and the tattoos are kind of how they cast their spells and things like that. And, you know, they're a secret order that's out there to fight the evil forces. Kind of goes back to like Nazi Germany and World War II and things like that. And, so it's kind of set up this world that obviously we're going to spend some time in this series. This was an oversized book, like for $3.99 cover price. This was like 45 pages or so. It was,
at least.
Yeah, it was pretty thick. And I don't know, I really liked it. I liked the art in this. Some of it better than, like sometimes the art felt a little off, in some panels, but overall I liked the art in this. I really liked the story, and I liked the characters, so I think this is going to be a really good series, actually, and I am looking forward to seeing where this goes.
Yeah, I liked the art. So how do I explain it, though? I liked that the inking was simplistic.
Yeah.
But then the colors inside were like, it was more detailed than the colors. Still stylized, but I really liked the way it worked with it made the book flow, I thought. Yeah. Especially with the ink. And the, you know how like, so the, and I'm saying the ink, their tattoos on their bodies.
Right.
It worked with the way they drew like the entire book, really. And all the blacks that they used.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really liked the story. And it's like at the beginning, it was funny. It's like they kept saying like that there's been evil in the world and we're here to battle evil and we're doing, and the whole entire time I'm reading it, and I'm like, that's John and I battling the Twitter evil.
That's right.
It's like, we're the bright side. And they're like, they're the good. And then everybody that's bashing everything.
I just loved it how she says, you know, the lady that's kind of like the teacher / house mother or whatever is, you know,
yeah,
given the main character the tour through the place and talking to her and giving her the story, and she says, "Yeah, we, you know, we've been here to fight evil and all this." And she says, "Oh, well, what evil are we fighting?" And she starts to go on about like all the things that are wrong in the world. And she goes, "Oh no, that's just people stuff. We're talking about evil." And she says, "Oh, well, what are you fighting right now?" She says, "Well, nothing right now.
Nothing right now." Yeah. But then, they go into World War II and stuff. And-
yeah. But that I just thought actually, that was funny. Oh, well, yeah. Not right now, but this is what we do. You know?
Yeah. All the stuff that everybody's dealing with right now, that's trivial compared to what has gone on. And I like the World War II stuff kind of reminded me of, some of the Captain America stuff.
Yeah.
With, you know, that, a little bit of that, the Red Skull and stuff.
Well, it's not
No, I know.
Lots of movies reference Hitler as being like, into the occult, even Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know,
right.
And,
yeah.
You know, Hellboy, and, you know, there's been lots of mentions throughout,
right,
history that Hitler was kind of into the occult, and, you know.
I mean, I don't get it. Hitler and evil. Why is it tied so tightly?
Where's the connection? I don't get it.
Jeez. So. Bright side chat going with Hitler jokes.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Might not get year three, guys.
I know. All right. Want to move on to the second one here. This one I'm really interested to hear your take on.
Did you read it?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, the second one is Metal Men number one from DC Comics. It was written by Dan DiDio and had art by Shane Davis. So this was fine. You know?
Thank God.
Yeah. This was fine. Like, it was not, a bad comic, but it wasn't like, it's just, I don't know. It was just like your standard comic, right? It was just fine.
Well, you know? You know what's so funny is I read it. We got it. So I saw you put it here in it's, you still have it labeled recommended reading.
Well.
So I'm like, you put it in your notes as a recommended reading. And I was like, that's interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what
I did. I thought you were going to be like, I really like this. This was really good. And I'm like, wow. Okay. Cause no. I didn't. I thought it was like, and it says Metal Men are back. I've never heard of them.
Oh, well, I have.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've never heard of them. And I while reading it, I felt like it, you know, they had been around. I got that part. So I'm like, maybe I'm not getting into this book because I don't know their history or something. And as I'm reading along, I was just like, okay. It wasn't bad, but I just, I wasn't drawn into it. I wasn't like, oh, it wasn't a page turner. At the end of it, I can wait for the next book. I might miss it, but.
Yeah, but the end of it is what drew me in a little bit. Like the idea that, so this kind of brought back, Challenger Mountain and Nth Metal, you know, that we got in the Dark Knight's Metal storyline. And it's the first time that's been tied to the Metal Men. You know, again, yeah, the Metal Men are not like, A-tier characters or anything. Like, nobody really cares about them. They don't have a big following, but they've been around for, you know, they have been around for a long time. But I liked the idea that they were bringing the Nth Metal into it and, that it was sentient metal that was, you know, looking for Dr. Magnus, who is the creator of the Metal Men. So, like I said, the book itself, I mean, the art was good. I thought actually, better than good. I thought it was done pretty well.
That's one of the things I really liked about it, especially all the different metals I thought were drawn really well. The people, it looked at, you know, ink and airbrush mixed together. Right. It was really, really well drawn. I liked that part of it, but I was kind of lost in the story. I wasn't really drawn into the story. Yeah. That's all.
Like I said, it was just, that's the best way I can describe it. It was fine. Like, if you go out and you picked it up,
right,
it's not like the worst $3.99 you could spend on a comic, but it's not like gonna blow your doors off. It was just good. Right. Like, if you're a big Metal Man fan, and I'm sure there's some out there, but, you know, I mean, it's gonna service you. I think it was good. But I, like I said, even though I'm not, like, I'm like you, I'm not, like, clamoring for issue two, that I can't wait for it to come out, but the end of it did draw me in a little bit more with the, like I said, the Nth Metal and the, you know, the sentient character that was kind of coming out of the mountain. But, you know, if I didn't get to issue two, I wouldn't lose any sleep over it, I guess. So,
right.
So yeah, that's why it's book club and not recommended reading. I guess I need to change the title of that.
Yeah. I already changed it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into X-Men number one.
All right, X-Men number one from Marvel Comics, of course, written by Jonathan Hickman, art by Lionel Francis Yu. So, I mean, this is the book we are all waiting for this week, right?
Yep.
If you read House of X or Powers of Ten, and, you know, who hasn't at this point? I guess if you're, you know, even interested at all in the X-Men, you've already read them. So you were waiting for this book to come out today. I don't think it disappointed. Like, it definitely wasn't on par with, like, what we just came out of with House
of Powers.
That's
what I was going to say, yeah.
But it's, like, it wasn't going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is now set up for long-form storytelling, and we're going to, this is going to be a lot more of a slow burn than what we just had with House and Powers, because that was a, you know, you had 12 issues to tell your story and you had to move at a certain pace. And now we're going to be kind of settling into the day to day of the X-Men, I think.
Yeah.
So this was not going, I didn't think this was going to be on the level of what we just read, but I liked it. I know we're going to talk about it some more after this, after we close the show and give a little bit of spoilers, but I actually really did like it. I didn't like the art as much as I did like Pepe Larraz's art, from House of X. You know, I was kind of hoping that he would continue on with this series after that. Because I didn't think the art was as strong as what we got in the, in those two series. But, the story, you know, obviously it's still Jonathan Hickman, so.
Yeah.
You know, the story is, you know, exactly what he wants it to be. So, but this really had seemed to do have a lot to do with Cyclops, more yes. so than any of the yes. other characters. It was kind of Cyclops-centric. But again, I think we're going to find that as we go through, it's kind of like we talked about a little bit ago with the, you know, the Superboy episode of Titans, that, you know, we're going to get those character-centric episodes
right.
going forward.
I felt like they did that in the, excuse me. I felt like they did that in the middle of the book. Like, it jumped yeah. around a little bit.
Well, in the beginning of the book, it felt more like the team. Like, you had Cyclops and Storm, and it was a little bit more team-centric.
Yeah. Magneto.
But then, right, from yep. the middle of the book towards the end, it really kind of shifted to Scott, and, you know, kind of focused yeah. a little bit more on him towards the end.
Yep.
And like I said, there's some other things I could say, but I think we'll wait.
Yeah, we'll wait.
But, you know, overall, I guess in this part of it, it, you know, it's recommended. Like, if you liked House and Powers and you're wanting to read The Dawn of X, like this, I mean, it's still a must read. Like, it's not going to disappoint. I think it's going to be a great series. So.
I feel like, so what I wanted to say about it was House and Powers was really such an event.
Right.
That every single one of them, even Powers at the end, were just so, like, thought-provoking. There was so much to take in all of that. And I feel like you can't keep that pace.
Right.
And this is the first of the rest of their life.
Right.
You know?
Right. This is so the first day of the rest of your life.
The rest of their life. And it has to, you gotta pace it out.
Right.
And coming out of House and Powers, there was gonna be a letdown. And you're right in saying it doesn't disappoint, but I still feel like I was like, because I was so ramped up from House and Powers
right.
that I was just like, ugh, I'm just, you know, I was like, oh, I wanted at least one more of that big bang. Right. And I didn't feel like this had, it's a great story. I like where it's going, but it just doesn't have that oomph that the other books had. I didn't feel like the art was that much of a drop off. There is a difference, but it didn't take away from the story.
I don't think it was bad. Like, yeah, I'm not saying it was bad necessarily, but it wasn't up to par with the
yeah.
with House, you know.
But that's also,
and I know House and Powers were both drawn by different people, and I can't remember, you know, and I'm blanking on the artist that did Powers of 10, but even still, like, I think this was down from both of those. Like, I think yeah. the art in both of those series was better. And I love how in the description for this that Marvel or that Diamond puts out, it says, you know, and superstar artist Lionel Francis Yu.
Yeah.
So here I am bashing the art a little bit in, you know, what's being billed as being done by superstar artist yeah. Lionel Yu. But I had one other bit of news that ties in with this, and that's why I kind of wanted to leave it all the way to the end. But Jonathan Hickman announced recently that they are also part of, like, the second wave of the Dawn of X titles is a Maura McTaggart ongoing solo series that is going to deal a lot, obviously, with her and the timelines, but it is going to bring a lot of the those future timelines back into focus. And part of the reasons why I think that we felt a little bit stunted with that storyline through House and Powers is that there was a lot more to the story that Jonathan Hickman held back because he didn't want to tie this new writer into a specific plot that they had to follow. But that he had a lot more on the on his plate for that. And, you know, I think that that will be explored by the, you know, the next writer in that series. So, but yeah, I think that's cool. You know, we already know. I mean, obviously we know what the first six titles are in the Dawn of X, but we know in Wave 2, we're getting a Wolverine solo series. And now we know we're getting a, you know, a Moira MacTaggert solo series. So, there's gonna be a lot. Like, you're just kind of gonna be more X-Men than you can shake a stick at, you know?
Yeah.
And we are gonna have to come to a point where we're gonna have to pick and choose. Like, I know I mentioned that I will read every number one of, you know, Marauders and Fallen Angels and all that stuff, but it may not all stick and we may not want
I'll probably read the first two, maybe three, and then see how things tend. And it's not the book's fault necessarily, but if the book sticks with you, because other things are going to, other events are going to be coming up.
Well, exactly.
It's and we're going to be taking, and then all of a sudden you'll be like, oh yeah, I was reading that. And then you forget.
Right.
You know,
well, which and again, is, you know, and I hate to say it, but there's wallet fatigue. Like you can't buy everything.
Oh, yeah. That's
so, you know, I mean, again, I'm in a unique position where I'm going to have access to all of these books. But I still have my time to consider too.
Exactly.
And like if I don't love the book, I'm not going to
time is money, baby.
That's right. you know, I try to read as many new books every week as I can. But if I don't love the book, there's other books to be read, so I just move on to something else. I am, like I said, really looking forward to Fallen Angels though, and I'm hoping that that's going to be one of the titles that you know kind of sticks with me. So, we'll see.
All right, we haven't. Is that all you got?
Yeah.
All right. We haven't done one of these in a while.
Controversy. Uh-oh. Oh, that's right. You teased us earlier with controversy.
All right. I got to go with you on this one. Did you read Batman 81?
Not yet, no.
Don't.
Don't? Oh, jeez. That bad, huh?
I'm like, you know how you said like you, Romita bothers you?
Yes.
This book is
it him like, again?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I already hate it.
So you said it on 80 and I didn't agree. And I looked at the difference between the two and there are some panels that are atrocious.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. You have no idea how happy I am to hear you say that.
I was so disappointed reading it. I read it twice because first I read the digital. I was like, maybe this is bad. Maybe this is like,
it's a bad digital transfer.
Maybe it's like, you know, we'll give them the version my kids drew. And then when it comes out in print and I read it in print and here's the thing. It's so distracting from the story.
Really?
I'm trying to understand the story and I'm like, there's scenes that they look like ads. I'm looking at one page and I was like, this looks like an ad. Like, you know how they'll have ads and the cartoons are drawn like even more cartoony? And not comic booky. That's like, and I was like, "What the heck is this?" But my biggest gripe out of this whole thing, it's like he doesn't know how to draw arms. Like arms aren't cylinders.
Yeah,
they're not drawn. Like your wrist is not the same thickness as your elbow and the rest of your forearm. It's like the entire.
Well, it's like when we took art class and we learned how to draw. You start with like a stick figure, right? And then you flesh it out with blocks and cylinders, but that's where he stops. Like,
no, he just
it stays
went, like,
cylinders. You know?
I swear it's to like... God, I don't even want to open the book again to look at some of this. And I feel bad because I'm trying to find something redeeming in it. And I felt awful because I'm like, you were right. I'm like, and if you've been reading, like, cause you know these artists because you've been reading them year after year after year, and you'll like read something and go without even seeing the name, you'd be like, wow, I know who this is.
Yeah.
And I'm getting there. And then this one, there are a couple where it's like the arms are cylinders from the shoulder to the hand. And you're like, there's no way. It's like, has he not seen a Conan book where it's like, you know, right. I mean, come on, throw some muscles in or something. But it's like, they're so stiff. It's like, I was so frustrated. And then I pick up Superman Year One, Book Three.
Yeah.
That's drawn better. It's by him.
Yeah.
It's drawn better. But I was like, what did he do in this book? And it's like, I mean, you probably won't like Superman Year One either, but it's not like it's a different style of drawing for Superman. I see his style though. I see how I'm understanding that, but that didn't bother me. But this, I would, that is, and then the other one is, did you see Superman Clan Number One?
You haven't read it yet, but
I haven't read, I started to read it, and it's Superman Clan. Superman smashes the Clan, and it's drawn like for little kids.
Yeah.
And it's like a 80-page book.
Yeah, I have seen the artwork for it. Like I said, I haven't read it yet, but we had
it's like it's for Wonder Books.
A lot of previews for this. So, yeah, I don't know. Like,
I haven't read it
yet.
I literally have a smile
from ear to ear listening to you talk about John Romita Jr.'s artwork, though. So, you've come over to the dark side, man.
Yeah, bright side, dark side, whatever. Yeah.
I haven't picked it up yet, but I already know, again, because I talked about that in the last issue of Batman, how the art really pulled me out of the story to the point
where I didn't enjoy it. That one didn't pull me out.
And I haven't read the story. Like I said, I haven't read 81 yet, so I don't know what the story's like. But I already know that I'm not going to like it because not that I won't like the book itself, but I know I won't like the artwork. Because
have you looked at any of these? Look at some of these panels. Look
at that. Pretty terrible.
Look at the arms right here.
Yeah, Robin. Yeah.
They look like toilet paper rolls.
Well, they look like Muppets. I told you.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one of Robin with the arms, both arms extended. It looks like two paper towel rolls with gloves on.
Right.
It's awful.
I am so happy. You have no idea.
I'm glad my misery is making you happy.
It really does. It really does.
I know. I know. All right, so at least we got to use we started year two off with a controversy. And
I don't think it's controversy because I agree with you. His art's terrible, so
it's
there's no controversy.
It's controversial to me it's tearing me up inside that I'm like, this guy's a professional, and I'm like, what the heck?
You probably won't even sleep tonight just because you said bad things on the podcast.
I feel bad because, like I said, 80 didn't bother me. Superman Year One, I enjoyed it. Yeah. I know you don't like that story. Some redeeming aspects to me. It's not the greatest story. And I will say this about it. I don't know why it's a black label. It's not a black label story.
It shouldn't have been.
I think that actually hurts its story. If it wasn't black label, I think it might play better because your expectations aren't the same. Because some of that black label stuff is so strong, especially recently, that when you go into the Superman story, and we said this in the past, I don't know if you can do a black label Superman story. It just
He doesn't lend himself to black label at all.
Yeah. What's the worst he's going to do? Flip him off? on a bad day?
I think Brightburn is the Superman black label story, but
pretty much.
Yeah.
But
which I still haven't seen yet, but I hear pretty good things about.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll be on the Bright Side Home Theater podcast.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, have you seen it yet? Last time we talked, you hadn't watched it.
No. Okay. No, I'm saving that one to do for that.
Oh, okay. You're going to watch it.
I'm going to review it. Review the sound on it because it's supposed to be good.
Yeah. Oh. Send me the digital.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Is that it?
Yeah.
We're good. Let's close it up. All right. Yeah. Hey. Thank you to Comic Busters? Was that what it was? Again, DM us with your address and we will send you a rock. And
every time you say that, I think of the Charlie Brown Halloween special.
Yeah.
I got a
rock. Maybe at Christmas we'll send coal.
Yeah. What'd you get? I got a rock.
I got a rock. Tweet us questions, and if it creates a great conversation, we will send you a green rock. Tweet us at @thebrightside_chat. Email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. All of the platforms will help. And we're proud members of the Nerdy Legion. Just go to the Nerdy Legion, hit subscribe, get them all. The Nerdy Legion, Indie Alley. What have you watched this week? That one is. Oh, before we go, have you seen Batgirl yet?
I saw it, the first episode. Yes, I haven't watched the second one yet.
What did you think?
Because
I haven't heard a good review on it yet.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
That's what I said.
I feel like it was what I expected out of a pilot episode.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of setup. Like, I feel like when we met Batgirl in the Crisis crossover last year, she was more advanced than she is now.
Well, yeah, this is starting at the beginning.
Yeah, we've taken a step backwards a little bit. But
do you mind that?
No, I don't mind it.
Okay, because the guy.
Although, again, I don't necessarily feel like we needed her origin. Like, we could have just jumped into the story and been fine, but I know TV doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing, and the guys on What Have You Watched This Week, What Do They Watch This Week, is they don't like it because they didn't think that they should have gone back. And my thing was, I kind of liked that because it was different than doing flashbacks. It was different than doing – because, like, Arrow did flashbacks.
Right.
But even, like – The Flash, they started at the beginning.
Right.
But they brought him in at a time, you know, he was on Arrow before he was the Flash.
Right.
So I think they're just trying to do something different. And there's going to be some growing pains. And that's what I thought. I thought it was a CW show and I like where it's going. The one thing I didn't like, and I'll agree with those guys, they said the same thing. I thought the reveal was way too quick on the big bad. For you know what I mean?
Well,
it's like they released her. They released that that her sister. And but if you keep watching, they kind of pull back on it too. They do like, is this true? Is it not true? But I like it. I like where it's going. It's a CW show. I'm enjoying it, and it's going to be fun watching it evolve because we know. I mean, I think week three we're going to get the suit,
right.
By week three, I saw the trailers for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they have a kind of a modified suit.
Yeah,
right
she's basically in a slimmed down Batman suit now.
Which I'll tell you what I didn't like about it is, yes, when she found the, it wasn't really the Batcave, it's the, you know, his lair in Wayne Enterprises.
Yeah, it looks like it has some computers from the 60s in it.
I thought the suit was horrible. Like, I thought the bat suit was terrible.
It's a
CW. Like, I know, but still, they could do better. Like, it just didn't look anything like...
Have you seen episode 2 yet?
No.
Oh, you haven't seen 2?
No.
She takes some bullets in episode 2. It's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she goes, cool.
Oh, yeah. But I thought it was, like I said, I thought it was a horrible suit that they had for him. But
He took his good one with him.
And I know that they were going to put her in it. You know, obviously, they were going to modify that suit. But that doesn't look like the suit that Batman would have had.
Did you notice that before she said modify it, it already had like breasts?
No, but it
look at it
slim,
hanging
though,
up, and I was like,
it looked
what?
Slim. Like it didn't look like it would fit a 6 foot, 200 pound, you know, Batman.
But the overall story, I like.
Yeah,
I did too.
I thought it was good. I thought it was. You know, I thought, well,
this
I was
is
gonna,
an audio podcast.
I know. Well, I'm trying to think of what I was going to say. Like,
right.
I liked the, what I thought was going to happen is that she was going to, you know, break into the office and she was going to find the lair by accident by like throwing some kind of fit and whipping something across the room and having it hit a button and open.
Right.
You know, I thought it was going to be really cheesy. I told my wife, I was like, yeah, of course, you know, she's going to walk into the office and conveniently find the entrance to the Batcave when, you know, nobody else can seem to find it. But it actually wasn't that, and I kind of liked the way that the entrance was set up around the pearls, like Martha's pearls and
all
that.
So you liked that?
I actually did like it. I liked it more than if she would have just whipped something across the room and magically hit a book that opened up the door, because that's usually what happens in these shows. as they stumble ass backwards into, so, you know.
Did you see, so what did you watch this week? Did you see the title of their latest episode?
Oh no, what is it called?
Why Would You Leave Martha's Pearls Right There?
Oh.
It's so funny. And they had a great point.
It's not so much, yeah, I mean, I could see that.
I'm not trying to argue with
that. No, I get that.
This is all fun. We're all in the Nerdy Legion. It's all fun. And they're more than happy to rebut our
right,
side.
Right, right, right.
But what they had, I actually kind of, I was listening to them at work today and I started to laugh. And it reminded me of, Ryan Davey from the Dork Podcast talking about the butler, the lazy butler, or whatever you call it, from the Jurassic World.
It's yeah.
Like that high security and the girl lets herself in.
The friggin', right, from the butler. Dumb waiter. Yeah.
The dumb waiter, that's it. Yeah. That, which was.
Yeah, I remember saying that too when I was watching. Yeah, waiter. When I watched
that was
that
wicked
show.
Funny. Well, yeah. What they said about the pearls, they're like, so they said, like, if somebody broke into the house, and it's like, you're going to put that high security thing right next to the thing that's going to attract anybody in the room, the pearls.
Right.
It's like, it didn't make sense. But at the same time, that's, yeah, I don't know. I liked it that way, but I agree with their point.
I mean, I do too. I mean, I liked it as the trigger, though, to open.
Yes.
Like, the whole event that surrounded her, noticing that right. They were out of place and all that. I thought it was better than, like, what I had in my mind. Like I said, that she was just going to basically
wait a minute. That's a great point.
You know.
Were they were out of place. Where were they supposed to be?
Well, just slightly over. Like,
oh, slightly
remember,
over?
It looked like, because when she moved them, they had like a...
The
there was
spot.
Like a little...
You're right.
Pressure plate or something that it went down on. So it wasn't like they were across the room, but they were out of place from where, you know, they should have been. But I guess my point would have been, did she spend that much time in the office that she would remember exactly where they were?
Well,
they
that was
been?
Another part. We're going way deep on this, but that was another part that's a whole other new story because the Batwoman that I know isn't related at all. The Batwoman, like he doesn't even know, he didn't know who she was.
Oh, no, they're cousins in the comics.
Are they?
Yeah, they're cousins.
I didn't know they were cousins.
Yeah, Bruce and Kate are cousins.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But what I didn't get either, now that, like I said, yeah, now that we're going to go super deep on Batwoman, but, like, she said that when she lost her sister and her mother, you know, in the accident, that the only one that was there for her was Bruce. But at the time, she was, like, 8 years old. And Bruce was already Batman and like 30 years old. So
yeah,
when I think in my mind, oh, the one that was there for me was Bruce. It's like, cause they were the same age and they, you know, but this is like, they were way different in age. So why was he hanging around with this 8 year old niece that I don't know. It seemed weird.
Yeah, I could see that though.
I don't know. Seems like he was busy being Batman and didn't have time to hang around with his 8 year old niece or 8 year old cousin. So I don't know. I thought that was a little weird, but
that's, I don't even remember that from the comics that they were cousins.
Yeah. It's something to do with his, it's something to do with Martha, like Martha and Kate's mother or something. I don't know the exact relationship, but they're cousins in the comics and obviously a lot closer in age in the comics, but. But anyways, like I said, I think it was a good start. I look forward to seeing where it goes. I know it didn't get a ton of great reviews. Like, I know a lot of people didn't
love
it.
Well, it got a lot of bashing. Yeah. It got a lot of bashing, like, you know.
But it's
like
going to, because I mean, a lot of people didn't like her.
I don't know
why. A lot of people didn't like her or the casting. And
why? I thought she was great.
I thought she was good too, but.
I think she looks great in the role. I think.
I do too, I know that I could. Not that I can see why, but I know that it was going to get a lot of bashing and it's going to get a lot of hate because a lot of people are predisposed to not liking it already, you know. My comment is just leave it alone. Then just if you don't like it, don't watch it. But, you know, anyways.
So, All right. So now we'll wrap up. All right. We already did our email, Twitter. Hit us up on Twitter. Email us questions. You could get a rock. And we got to get out of here so we can close the store. And you want to talk a little Titans as well?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So we're going to close up. We'll see you guys on Monday for Return of the Jedi. New 52, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's lock it up.
All right.
Hey, Fred. All right. All right, we'll talk some X-Men.
Sure.
X-Men Book One. So, yeah, very Scott Strong in this book.
Yeah.
I just to jump spoilers here to the end, I love that part at the end where they gave the outline of his house.
Yeah.
His dwelling. And I used to draw stuff like that. I used to fantasize that I had, like, a house underwater and, like, how they did the cross-section. And I had, like, you know where they had the ships parked?
Yeah.
And everything. I used to draw. I'd have pods under the water, like habitats like gerbils. And I could go. And I used to design these things on graph paper and everything. And be like, you could go from one to the other.
Yeah.
And I'd have the under part where you could park your sub or whatever to get into it. And I'd have the – you know, it was a cross-section of my house. I'd have my – and I actually did. Even as a kid, I had, like, a home theater. I drew a home theater in this one
section.
Because
I knew.
I was like, well, I got to be entertained down there. I'm living underwater, for God's sake.
Well, but, I liked it. It was kind of – it's called the Summer's House, but it's really more of like a compound because there's a whole bunch of people living there.
Yeah.
You know, looks like –
and it's not on Earth.
No, which was I thought was really cool. And I like the idea of that too because that was something that they didn't really talk about too much in House and Powers. That they could create these pocket, like, that they could all create these, like, pocket dimensions or.
Yeah.
Like, he could create this house that he could just step right back and forth, like, to Krakoa. Even when he gave his dad, like, the plant for the Starjammer
ship.
That
was awesome.
Which was really cool, yeah. And he says, now you can just stroll right in and, you know.
You can come here whenever you want.
Yeah.
And I loved his dad's reaction. I thought there was some good humor in the book, too.
There was, yeah.
Which, there was a little bit in House and Powers, but I felt like this was, okay, we're into reality here, or not reality, but we're in it for the long haul, and there's some humor in there, and his dad was pretty funny, like,
yeah.
Okay. He's like, okay.
Yeah, the dad was good. There was some good moments there with the dad, too. You know, again, a lot of complicated history between those characters and the comics going back a while, so it looks like they're on good terms here. And
yeah.
There was a good conversation about, you know, that he had with Scott about, you know, kind of trying to stay away from danger and Scott's reaction, basically.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's always going to be people that want to kill us no matter what we do or
right.
where we go. And
yeah, he's almost like his dad's like, I want you to stay away from danger. And his explanation is danger's always looking
right.
for me.
It's always everywhere.
So
but I'm
why
gonna,
don't I just face it head on instead of
right.
run?
But, you know, but where am I now? I'm here with my family and focusing on this or that. And,
right. Live for the day.
You know what, I also, they implied a relationship with him and Polaris, which I hadn't seen before. Like, I don't remember them being together in the comics at all, but it seemed like they're together in this story.
Yeah.
Which is weird because Jean lives with them in the compound, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a little weird, menage a trois kind of relationship going on. I'm not sure what's going on. But, I liked, like I said, I liked all that stuff with him. I liked the stuff with Magneto and Polaris, you know, in the beginning.
I really liked the Magneto stuff at
yeah.
the beginning. We got,
yeah, I
felt like it, we got back to some like strong Magneto vibes.
Yeah, we did.
No pun intended, but
right.
the, when he's like, I've got this.
Yeah.
And he just takes it and they're all like, well, okay. And they're like, you guys go on. And then he shows up and they go, that was quick.
Right.
And didn't he say, like, they just bent to my will?
Well, yeah. Like, the thing was because he said something about the pack mentality kicked in because once he asserted his dominance, they kind of turned on each other, which is what happens, like, in the animal world, I guess.
Right. It's almost like he turned down the leader or the biggest of them, and then they all looked at each other and went, what are we doing?
Yeah, he kind of became the alpha. And I really liked when they got back to Krakoa, how, like, everybody was so happy that he was back. They're like, Magneto's back, and tell us the story, yeah, and this and that. And it's like, he's like celebrity.
Yeah, he's like the big leader. He's right. Like, it's almost like he's this one and one A between Xavier and him. And Xavier wasn't really in the book.
Yeah, I would say he was absent for most of the book, except for the very beginning flashback panels. But
yeah, Magneto comes back, and I loved, like, it was Scott's like, all right, let him have it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, him and Polaris both were like.
Yeah, exactly. They're both like, all right. And it's like, it is kind of getting a little, what did they say? Not gross, but they're like, it's getting obnoxious or something.
Something,
like,
yeah. I can't remember what they said.
But it was funny, but they're kind of like just watching, like.
Rolling their eyes. Like,
yeah.
Hey, we were all there too, you know, on this mission. It wasn't all him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like you said, it was not. Like, it wasn't super action-packed, and it didn't have, like, the big kind of gut punch that some of the, you know, House and Powers issues had. But I guess, like I said, I think it's just a good, like you said, the first day of the rest of their lives kind of thing. Like, you know, this is going to, you know, this is going to be the new reality for these characters. And like I said, there's going to be conflict. I'm sure there'll be a ton of conflict going, you know, as we go into this series. But like I said, I liked it. I thought it was, like I said, I thought it was a solid first issue. You know, like I said, nothing kind of groundbreaking, like you said, from the other ones. I like the scenes with Logan too, and the steak, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
You know? He says, what are you doing? And he starts going into a diatribe about how you cook, like how you heat up the thing. And he says, no, I wanted it rare, bub.
Yeah, you know? I love how he burned it. I want to get to that. That was another one of the funny ones. And he's like,
he says, I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah, but he burns it. The thing goes, oh, that's what it was. He goes, do you want it rare? And he goes, yeah. And then he goes, rare it is. And all of a sudden, like, the fire goes, whoosh.
Yeah, and he goes, you go, medium rare.
Medium?
I'm going to punch you in the face. Yeah, so it was good. Because, you know, again, this is the second or third time now that we've seen Logan. Because even in, like, one of the House or Powers issues, I don't remember which, but they showed him, you know, kind of rolling around with the kids and playing and kind of like being really happy. And like, Wolverine's not a character that's known for being happy. And like, even in this issue, you know, he's joking and, you know.
Kind of joking.
I guess maybe
he still has the scowl on his face.
Maybe he was serious about punching him because his steak was medium, but.
Yeah.
But you know, it's kind of a different side of him than we're used to seeing. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's true with some of the other characters, too.
I think that's what Hickman's doing with all of the characters. We're seeing different sides of them. And what's making that fun is, like we said with Magneto here in this one, we actually got the Magneto we know. Like, and it was off, like, camera. Like, we didn't see it. You know, it's like, I got this. So, you know, he just went, like, nuts on these people and went full Magneto. So, and that was intriguing. And that's that world building that Hickman's doing is what makes that possible. It's like he took something away, but then he's going to give it back to you a little bit. Right. And it's kind of like what he's doing with like you said, with Wolverine here. It's like he's giving you a little, he's calming Wolverine down. Then when he releases him in later issues, we're going to be like, yeah, there he is again. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's really cool what he's doing. And like you said, with the summer house thing, the other thing I wanted to comment on is, that was a fun white page.
Yeah.
You know, it's that description. I turned the page. I was like, oh no. And okay.
The other thing too, that I'm looking at this page here. You know, you kind of get the sense that not everybody feels super, has super bought into everything that's going on in Krakoa, or maybe they don't kind of believe it all to be true yet, because, you know, you have that panel where Scott's talking about how, you know, like he has Polaris and he has his father and his family and his son and all that stuff. And, you know, how he believed in the thing and now it's real. And Polaris asked them, like, do you really believe all this? And that's when he says, yes, I believe every single word. But you kind of get the feeling that there's still a lot of them are very kind of tentative about their situation. And maybe they don't all you know, feel...
They don't all buy in.
Yeah, they don't all either buy in or feel comfortable that it's not going to all come crumbling down, you know. So, right. Like I said, I think that's where some of the... Even in that little simple interaction, but I think that's where tensions are going to build as this thing goes on because, you know, there is going to be a lot of... I think there's going to be a lot of that going through, excuse me, through the story as we go forward. So, like I said, I thought that was pretty good, too.
Yeah. The opening, I wonder if we're going to get in each... maybe in at least the X-Men book... Like X-Men 2, I wonder if they're going to open with like kind of a couple of origin pages of say,
each one, right.
Of like Storm or something next.
Right.
You know, because this one was Cyclops, which was pretty cool. And, you know, showing how he got his glasses and stuff. And
right.
Quick little origin.
Right.
Story.
Just a one page. It was really just a one page. Well, two pages, I guess.
Two
it was
pages.
Just a two page thing.
And then it goes into today or whatever it
right.
said. Yeah.
The other thing, too, is this thing. Just the like the washing the dishes. That's where they spray that goo on the dishes.
Oh,
and it just eats all the food
dad's
off.
Like,
and his dad's like,
"Gross,
that's disgusting. I think I'm gonna vomit."
And, like, and didn't he say it's better than what we used to do or something?
Yeah, because they said it's Krakoa was gonna make them like biodegradable plates to eat off
plates.
Of that
yeah.
were like
no you ate the plate
that were alive or something and it's like I was like yeah that's pretty gross because it's like this green thing that's like squirting this green goo all over the plates.
Like,
yeah that was pretty like I could have done without gross. That's like the blue milk scene in The Last Jedi. It's like I could have done without that.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? So
all right, you want to talk Titans quick?
Yeah.
And Superboy.
Yeah.
Connor. That was, like I said earlier, in those fight scenes, if that's why I didn't want to bring it up there, but those right. fight scenes with him and his, I thought that they did a great job of him being that, like they said, like a 2-year-old.
Right.
But then he also got flashes of the knowledge of, like, Luther's knowledge.
Well, I think thing is that she assumed he was going to be, like, a 2-year-old. Because she
right.
didn't realize that he was going to have absorbed that knowledge.
As much knowledge.
But,
right.
yeah, I think there was a, you know, there was kind of, like, a childlike quality
well,
to
I think
him.
You got all three
but
of them.
But I think he was a little bit more advanced than she thought. Yeah,
right.
That she thought he was going to be. But yeah, I don't know. I loved Crypto. I thought he was awesome.
I was so afraid something was going to happen to him through, and I know nothing can.
Right.
But it was.
Although again, he's not like there was no like in the comics. Crypto comes from Krypton, right? He's like.
How about why he escaped? Because
right.
they were torturing Krypton.
The dog, right? The dog, which was
and
awesome.
It was like. I mean, he went John Wick.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it was like they were torturing the dog and he was like, that's it. And it's like he destroyed and they're like, what snapped him out of it? Because they couldn't figure out why he even did what he did.
Right.
But he was drawn to the noise of the dog. And that was just, and I loved that throughout the entire episode, the dog was like, how about when they were walking away in that parking lot? And oh, what was the scene? And Crypto walks away, and he doesn't even say "wait up, boy" or anything. But the dog just like waits and like looks. Are you coming?
Right.
I can't remember what he was leaving her in the parking lot.
Oh yeah.
And like Crypto had already. He goes, "Let's go, boy!" And they start walking, and then he changes his mind, but Crypto stays walking forward, and he's looking back like, "Come on, let's go."
Right.
And like because. But that dog was so well behaved and he's running out. He's helping everybody.
And I wonder what the connection, like again, I'm sure we'll see more, but like when they show up at the Luther farm in Kansas,
which they make it look like it's going to be
well,
the
you
Kent
think it's,
farm.
Right. You think it's going to be the Kents at first, but you know, it's the Luther farm.
And, it looked identical to the Kents from the movie.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
It looked like Kent's farm.
I thought it was theirs and too, obviously, until you see the mailbox. But my thing was like
the giveaway.
like why was Crypto like why did he know not to go in there? Like Crypto had never been there before and really
I think
had
he just
no
senses it bad. He just
yeah, but
Lionel, dogs have that
but Lionel
sense,
wasn't
though.
Bad. You know what I mean? Like
well, he beat him.
Well, but again,
that was all legit.
But it was all in the past that Crypto would have no knowledge of.
No, like, the but Lionel dogs that have we, that sense.
The Lionel
though,
that
yeah.
we met, though, was an old man who was like blind and, you know, offering right. him tea and brandy and food. So, like, I don't know what the danger was.
Yeah.
Unless he's
I just
been there
went
before.
That dogs
right.
have that sixth sense. Well, kind of like dogs know Terminators.
I'm just thinking we don't know where he came from, and you know, like maybe there's more connection there that we don't
right.
that we
maybe.
Just don't know about.
Yeah.
And my
How about
whole
Crypto
thing was
and
like
that, and that rocket.
What's that?
When the rocket came through the window?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I was
and
like,
Crypto
what are you talking
jumped
about the rocket?
And
I'm thinking like the rocket from Krypton, like space. No,
no,
yeah,
no, no.
yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, they sent like, with
yeah,
the rocket
awesome.
Launcher through the window. He yeah. jumps up and spins it, and like, and he, all he does is grab it and let go when it's facing the
That's
other
what I'm
way.
Saying. It was so the
oh,
it was like better than any of the movies that we've got. Like it's so good, you know. And
yeah, it was really good. The
and now I'm like, are we going to meet Lex in this series at all? Because
It
seems like we are, but I haven't heard anything about Lex Luthor being cast in this show, but I don't know, they really played Lex up a lot in this, you know, in
yeah.
this episode. But again, I don't know if we're going to see Clark either. Like, is Connor ever going to meet either one of his two dads in this
yeah.
show, you know, which is the sitcom My Two Dads, but But, like, I don't know if we're going to meet either one of them. Because, obviously,
right.
again, if you go back to, like, Young Justice or even the comics, like, there's a big tension between Connor and Clark. Because
at the beginning,
at the beginning. Because, you know, Clark doesn't know where, you know, he's a clone. He doesn't trust him, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I don't know if we ever get to see any of that in this show. And it'd be a shame if we don't, but I also don't know if we will. You know.
Well, it might not be this season, and that's yeah. how they keep you wanting more, yeah. which I already want more.
Well, right.
I mean, you know, the way this season is going, every episode is just,
yeah.
you just want more.
And I also thought it was cool, well, not really cool, but, you know, kind of, at the end, you know, the doctor, I can't remember her name, who looked way too young, you know, by the way, to be to be able to have created him, you know,
she's a party girl.
Yeah, but she tells him, look, you know, don't be a hero, don't stand out, don't do this. And then he walks by at the end and, you know,
first
the guy's getting beaten on the street. Well, the guy's getting beaten on the
right.
street and he was walking by and Crypto kind of looks over and he says, no, we can't get involved. And he walks on and lets that guy keep getting beat. But
right.
then he comes up and he sees Jason, you know, basically falling out of the window where we left
falling
him
to
on,
his
the,
death.
On
yeah.
the previous episode. And... like, he can't, you know, he can't not save him, you know. I
right.
mean, he, you know, it kicks in and he saves him. And then, you know, I thought that was a pretty cool meeting between those two and it was a good scene.
Yeah. And it ends again.
You know, and then obviously
it
ends on
a
cliffhanger. And, you know,
so you
know
the next episode's going to be like, you know, there'll be something else.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So next week it won't have anything to do with any of them. It'll be
yeah,
like
Raven.
Yeah,
Raven
will
be baking
origin.
A cake or something.
Yeah. Because that's the way it goes. And then we'll have to wait another week to get the rest of this.
Yeah,
maybe we'll get
what
the
I
death,
thought was
we're
interesting.
Probably gonna get like the Deathstroke origin episode somewhere along the line. So
yeah.
What
I thought was interesting is this was episode was this four?
Yeah,
I think. So this is episode four, and that's. This is basically where they ended the last season. It was the end credit scene of last season.
Right.
Of him breaking out. And right. that's all like, so this episode four takes place in like 24 hours of him, you know, thereabouts, right? Him
yeah.
breaking out and he goes to the thing and then he's literally escapes from
yeah,
there.
Yeah. It's yeah,
and
probably
is walking
a day or two at most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the end of season one when he escaped, and then that's, you know, 24 hours after that, that's when he catches Jason.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought it was really, really good. And the, what was I going to say? Something at the beginning of the show. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I forget. But, all right. That good?
Oh, well.
Oh, good.
I was just going to say, I thought it was great that, you know, he tries to get the t-shirt, right? And he doesn't have any money.
That's what it was?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was
thinking. He tries to get the t-shirt
thinking.
And he doesn't have any money. So then, you know, he runs
he
into this woman.
Take it.
Yeah, he runs into this woman that's getting beat in the alley, right? And she says, oh, thank God you saved me, you know, and they were trying to steal all my money. And he goes, you have money? Can I have it? And basically he rips her off, you know?
Yeah.
And she's got to be thinking, yeah. Well, that didn't work out for me at all. Although I didn't get beat up, I still lost all my money. So.
First he didn't understand the idea of buying things, which is, that's where it's like, I said, they played all three angles where it's like you had Luther, Child, and
Superman. But he knows what nuclear fission is, but he doesn't know how to, he doesn't know how to buy a t-shirt.
But he doesn't know that he knows that. Like, it just all of a sudden came to him, and she looks at him and goes, what the, how did you know that?
Yeah.
I could just have it. So. All right. That good?
Yep.
Let's get out of here.
All right.
So. That's it for this week. We will be back on Monday. Thanks for sticking around for the Kryptonite Key Club talk.
There you go. All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.